especially the fact that next month is the 29th anniversary, 29 years here. And I just, you know how when you remember something that long ago and what happened previous and how the Lord brought us here to help the church that was already empty, no people for 3 months. But I just sense the Lord wants to encourage all of us today, because this next decade is going to be a decade of blessing. And the Lord is going to bring us into a whole new time of being able to be confident in the Lord, even in a greater way, to be ready, like Pastor already said, to share with those that you come in contact with. Be ready with an answer of the hope that lies within you. But it's also a decade of favor. The Lord favors New Song Worship Center. The Lord loves New Song Worship Center. And because you all have been so faithful all these 29 years, well, some of you not quite that long, being here that long, but anyway, because you're still young. But anyway, the Lord gives us faithfulness to be faithful, but then he shows us how faithful he is. And he's got an amazing, amazing, amazing future for New Song Worship Center. Another thing I don't think y'all realize, oops, I'm sounding southern there, but you don't realize the effect you've actually had on this community in an amazing way in several different areas. And so I just want to encourage you today to know that the Lord is faithful. He's got amazing, amazing, exciting, wonderful future for New Song Worship Center. Amen, brother. Can I hear an amen? Amen. Yay. Okay. How about a high five?
Good word. Anybody else? Lord speaking something to you. Scripture. Anything? Okay. Well, guess what, Mr. Michael? It's your turn. Amen. Let's give him a big welcome clap. Do you want your Bible up here? Okay.
I don't feel like I'm nearly as prepared for this as I should be, but and I've got lots of excuses I could offer you. None of them are valid. I started off when I first started getting prepared for this thing, and I was going to do Hebrews chapter 12, which all of you know is about discipline. I don't know about anybody else, but I don't like being disciplined. Don't particularly like talking about it. So I read a little bit further, and I read chapter 13. And chapter 13 is an exhortation. Does anybody know what an exhortation is? What is it? Yeah. According to Strong's Concordance, that's exactly right. It is an address or communication to emphatically urge someone to do something. It means it is an action. It means it requires you to do something. And while reading the Bible is important, just sitting at home reading the Bible is not all he wants you to do. It says in Hebrews 13:1, keep on loving each other as brothers. Do not forget to entertain strangers, for by doing so, some have entertained angels without knowing it. Now, I don't know if I've entertained any angels. If I did it, in my younger years. It was certainly by accident. But you know, the amazing thing is, most of us in this room have known each other for a few years. Could there be an angel sitting among us? Absolutely. Because we don't know who they are, and they are not required to identify themselves. We are not the angel police. We cannot demand identification. It also says in verse 5, keep your lives free from the from the love of money. Can't read my own handwriting. And be content with what you have, because God has said, never will I leave you, never will I forsake you. Now, we'll forsake each other. We'll leave each other. Even people who say they love each other and join themselves in marriage leave each other. But the whole thing starts with loving you and you and you. You know, and our neighbors don't always do what we like. Sometimes they're downright obnoxious. Sometimes we wake up in the morning and we go outside and we find them sitting in their front yard reading our newspaper. You know? Should we go over there and snatch that paper out of their hands? Some would, and there was a time when I would. But today I would probably go, when you're done with that, you mind putting it back on the front porch so I can read it? And you may not get the answer you expect or want. So what do you do then? Do you get angry with this person? Do you make threats? Some will, but you know, as a godly person, our job is to take the message of the Lord, and one of his most emphatic messages in the Bible is love. We are to love this person. Doesn't mean we have to accept what they did. Don't even have to like them. I know lots of people in the world that I don't like. But they know I'm a Christian. And when they're around me, they treat me as a Christian. You know, I don't have to listen to their dirty jokes. I don't have to listen to their language. They know who I am. And if they don't, I will tell them. But I will tell them politely. You know, this isn't a football game. You know, you're not out there to tear your opponent's head off. You're there to spread a message to the guy on the other side of the ball. So we say with confidence, the Lord is my helper. I will not be afraid. What can man do to me? You know, man can do a lot of things to you. You know, they can put fear in you, not the fear of God, but they can put fear in you. They can make you go broke. They can leave you alone, make you feel like nobody cares. But the Lord is always there. Even if we turn away from him, when we turn around and say, Lord, I want to come home, he's there with open arms. And he doesn't use any trickery or deceit to bring you home. He's not like his opponent. His opponent will use every dirty trick in the book keep you away from the Lord, away from the message. This is such a tough thing to do, especially in this day and age. You know, we went through the if it feels good, do it stage, you know, back in the 60s and early 70s. We can do that today, but you have a choice. You can either go to the dark side, or you can walk towards the light. You know, it's because you're walking through a tunnel and there's a light at the other end, it does not mean it's a train coming. It may just be the Lord saying, hey, come on home, it's your time. Don't walk, run. Run towards that light. He has such a message. You know, it says also in verse 7, remember your leaders who spoke the word of God to you. Consider the outcome of their way of life and imitate their faith. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. That means since day one, he has not changed. He is there to do the same thing for you as he did for Adam and Eve. And if you do the wrong thing, yes, you will suffer consequences just as they did. But we don't have to go down that route. You know, somewhere along the line, centuries ago, somebody invented a printing press and they started printing this thing. It gave each individual the right to find the Lord's word, to understand it, to interpret it in his own way or hers. The word is there for everybody. It's not ours to keep to ourselves. You know, if you're getting into your car and somebody sees your I Love Jesus sticker on the back bumper and makes a comment about it, you know, it doesn't really make any difference what the comment is. It's your job to make them understand why you have that bumper sticker. You're proud of who you are. You're proud of who you believe in. You're happy that you're a Christian. Put a smile on your face and let others know about it. There are so many things that we can do that are simple, everyday things. I mean, we don't have to go out and go into bars and sit down and talk to the people that are drinking in there about Jesus. I have known people that did that. It wasn't always a pleasant experience for them. But they did it, and they did it faithfully, carrying the word of the Lord, and never sitting down to take a drink. If they drank something with somebody who was drinking alcohol, they drank a Coke or a Pepsi or water, you know, whatever their preference was. In Romans 10, it says, be devoted to one another in brotherly love. Honor one another above yourselves. Now, there was a time, believe it or not, in my poor, lonely life, where I believed that I was the center of attention. You know, the sun revolved around me. The earth was flat, and if you went too far, you would fall off me. But you know, when I came back to the Lord, I received a message. And that message was, look up. There's a whole great big huge universe out there. And I'm here. that universe was constructed by God, not man, not some other form of man on another planet. It was formed by God with spoken word. You know, he wasn't I dream of genie. He didn't fold his arms, blink his eyes, and things happened. And since then, man has been trying to understand, why did he put us here? What is our purpose in life? It tells us right in here. Love each other in a brotherly manner. It tells us lots of other things, but many of them are totally meaningless if you can't love and respect your brother or sister. You know, there are men and women in this world, and it's important that we recognize that. Let's see, I don't think I'm done yet, but I've got to get myself somewhat in order. In the old days, high priests carried the blood of animals into the most holy place, but the bodies were burned outside of the camp or city. Jesus also suffered for us outside the city, to make us holy through his own blood. Our duty is to step outside this building that we call a church. You know, everything in this world, every place in this world is a church. All we have to do is make it so. All we have to do, when I meet Lonnie someplace and say, "Hi, my name's Mike." He says, "My name's Lonnie." I say, "Have you had the fortune of meeting the Lord yet?" Right away, he's going to do one of two things. He's going to say, "No, not really, but I'd kind of like to hear about it." Or, "I don't like Bible thumpers. Go away." You know what? This Bible's tough. It was made to be thumped on. The Lord constructed this Bible, and it is built to withstand the worst that Satan can throw at it. He does not have the power to nullify anything that's written inside these pages. They are ours, not his. Let's see. Oh. Outside the church, we aren't looking for the past or even today. We are looking for what is to come. You know, I'm looking forward to heaven. Does that mean I want to leave this place in the condition it's in right now? No, I'd like to see some changes. How do changes come about? Somebody stands up and says, "Hey, have you tried Jesus? He changed my life." And once again, they may walk away from you. That's okay. You did what you're supposed to do. You brought a message. They didn't want to listen to it. They may walk a block and somebody else might say, "Hey, you look miserable. Have you met Jesus?" And that person might be the one. You know, maybe you didn't like your haircut. Maybe you don't like bald people. You know, whatever. Once he gets into this, he will learn that that person is to their brother. You know, simply a matter of saying, "Hi, Jesus, and I love you." We have church on Sunday mornings. Got a good pastor. We got people that get up and speak before us that bring a message of their own. All messages of the Lord are to be received. Not because I'm up here passing along. You know, to be quite honest with you, I don't care if you remember where you heard whatever I said here today, as long as you remember it. You know, it's the Lord's message. It's not mine. I am not a public speaker. And when I was in school, I flunked many classes because I would not get up in front of a group and speak. I have the capability. I just didn't have the willingness. This is a message that is worth getting up and talking about. And so many people today, including Christians, are afraid to talk about church. We don't have to talk about church. Let's talk about Jesus. He's the man with the word. You know, I'm just walking around here. Every once in a while, he gives me something to say. Other times, like this week, you know, I've been working on this thing since Pastor asked me if I'd like to speak today. You know when this message came to me? 2:30 this morning. Yeah, Lord said, "I don't want you to talk about Hebrews 12. I want you to talk about Hebrews 13. There's not enough love in this world. There's not enough people caring about their neighbors. You know, I got neighbors. I got one on one side of me. It just drives me nuts. I got one on the other side. It is one of the nicest ladies I've ever met in my life. But I have to love them both equally." You know, just like as parents in our lives, we may have more than one child. It may be difficult to love one as much as you love the other. I was one of those children. But you know, today, I know that my father loves me as much as he loved his other kids. And where did I learn that? I learned it right here. In this little book. I heard it from Pastor Marv. I've heard it from Rob. I've heard it from Scott. I've heard it from Brian. I've heard it from Eileen. I've heard it from everybody that I attend church with. I've heard it from people that I don't attend church with. And I've had a few that say, "Nah, I don't want to hear about that stuff." Well, that's okay. Maybe next time I run into you, you'll be ready. You know, maybe he'll come to you at 2:30 in the morning and say, "Hey, remember that guy you met last week in the grocery store? He's coming back." Wait, there'll be more. And there always is. There's always more. The last thing I've got written down is we are continuously offer the sacrifice, a sacrifice of praise to God. The fruit of lips that confess his name. Also, we are to carry good and share with others. These sacrifices please God. Why do they please Him? This is what we're put here for. You know, it doesn't matter what your job is. Your job isn't you, it's just what you do. You could be a farmer, you could be a rocket scientist. I don't care. Talk to me about Jesus. Talk to me about how Jesus directed you to become a scientist. Why you love to farm. You know, the Bible is full of stories about shepherds. David, yeah, he was just a shepherd. He had no intentions of becoming king. But when the call came, he stood up and took the challenge. And that's all that we're being asked to do, is stand up and take the challenge. When somebody says, my life really sucks, I wish there was something I could do about it, don't say, well, yeah, maybe it'll be better tomorrow. It might be better tomorrow. It might be better right now if you take a minute to talk about Jesus. Now that person might say, man, the only thing I ever thought about in church was you go there and you sit there for an hour or two and people talk at you and you sing some songs. Then they ask you for money. Somebody told me they want as much as 10% of what I make. Well, yeah. It's not required, though. It's not required. Show up. Put a smile on your face. Say, hi. I'm the son of Jesus. Bring it home. Bring it to work. Take it everywhere. You know, you can't walk around anymore without seeing the influences that people have to put up with every day. You know, the language, the sexuality, the heathenism. You can't turn on the TV without some beautiful lady standing there trying to sell you whatever you think you might want. Cars, clothes, tennis shoes, you know, whatever. She has nothing to do with the product. But yet for some people, that sends their mind in directions that they don't necessarily want to go. And when your mind gets drug in that direction, chances are you're going to stay there longer than you wanted, spend more money than you wanted, and probably not get the message you need to hear. That's all I got, Pastor.
Hebrews chapter 13. You mean, do we have any other pink requests? Yes, that's what I thought. I thought they'd be coming up here. Could you put on that yellow CD there for us? Oh, hi, Aaron. And Casey. And Jaden. And Mark. Mr. Burger King. Do you feel inspired to share something, Dad? Yeah, you got your Bible there ready to go. Okay. You had a look of action. You got something? so you're going to grab that?
I just had, along with what Mike said, I couldn't help but think about the kingdom of God. The Bible says the kingdom of God is what?
Righteousness, peace,
and joy.
In the Holy Ghost.
And in my study, I found that that righteousness is not like something that you get and you look at it. It is a gift. But that righteousness that we have is only based on relationship with Jesus. When you have a relationship with Jesus, you have righteousness, which is not dependent upon the world situations. It's not dependent upon your actions. It's not dependent upon your life. It's Him living in us. And so He says, the kingdom of God is not meat or drink or natural things. It's righteousness, peace, and joy. So the righteousness, peace, and joy is all related to relationship with Jesus. Yeah. And so the righteousness is not static. Peace is not static. Joy is the same thing. It's not static. It's dynamic and moving. So when the kingdom is living in us, that dynamic begins to come alive. And that's what really makes us alive, is that kingdom living in us, and Jesus is the King.
Yes, that's why we can love others. Because Jesus, you know, Jesus is asking us to do something that He's already done. He never asked us to do anything He didn't do. He died on the cross. He looked down at those people and said, Father, forgive them, as He was dying. Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Well, we have some prayer requests that I want to share today, and it really blessed me to hear that Marla is doing better than expected. That's what we prayed in this room. Queasy. She wasn't even nauseous. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. We prayed for Eileen's eye this year, last month. And, yeah, this year, just a few months ago. And when she had her surgery. And the doctor said it couldn't be any better. You're ahead of schedule. So, the Lord hears our prayers when we pray together. And right here, Rick Kennedy has put a request in for Grandma Pat, his mom, Patricia Kennedy. Please pray for a speedy recovery after breaking from Yeah, but that's not what this says. Radial. This says recovery from a broken radial bone in the arm. Yes, but I'm only going with what I have in front of me. She broke her wrist when she fell playing pickleball. Yesterday at the family birthday party. So let's pray for her. Jesus, pretty much all of us know Pat Kennedy, and we just pray that You would help her in this wrist to heal very quickly. And we again ask You for the healing to be ahead of schedule. Pray that You would just bring her comfort and speedy healing, speedy recovery from this broken wrist. In Jesus' name. Amen. And I'm just going to go ahead and pray for the rest of these. We pray for Jaden's former friend, Taylor, who stopped being Jaden's friend because Jaden would not become a Jehovah's Witness. And so I thank you, Lord, for Jaden's heart to pray for her friends, to pray for her acquaintances. And we pray for Taylor to have her heart enlightened and opened up by your love and by the truth of who you are. In Jesus' name. We pray, Lord, for the United States of America to become one nation under God. I'm going to lift up that prayer every time it comes in front of me right here, Lord. Our country, obviously, with all the debates that just went through, we need your help more now than ever. We trust you, Lord. Mike requests prayer for our fellow brothers and sisters who are being persecuted. We bring them up to you again, Lord. We pray for your comfort. We pray for their persecutors would have a change of heart. In the name of Jesus, and they would see you and understand what they're doing. I pray that their persecution would not be in vain, and that your message would continue to move forward. Pray for Mike's dad, James, who is in the hospital. And we pray that you would touch and you would heal him and help him to get an appetite back, Lord. And give his body strength in Jesus' name. We pray for Brian, also his brother who has liver cancer. And there is nothing too big for you, Lord. We just thank you that you hear our prayer. So, could a few folks lay their hands on Jaden here today? She says her ear is bruised on the side or feels that way. Please pray for healing and for comfort. So, Jesus, we pray for Jaden's ear. We pray for the recovery, the healing to be complete. And they did some work on that ear, Lord. And we just pray for comfort as she requests. Pray your peace and your grace. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. So, we got Rob and Connie and Christina in here, and I wanted to have the rest of the Kennedys in here. Are they close to being done? Could you check for me, please? Because they are heading out on vacation. We prayed yesterday for Ruth and Carl, and they took off this morning on the motorcycle, going down to Crater Lake and on into the trees of mystery and the giants of the redwoods and everything. And so that's where they are at today. And this particular August, Kennedys and Lafferty's, their vacation times are like identical. So are they still in the process? Coming out? Okay. Good. Here they come. All right. So, how about you guys just come on, just right there, stay in the back, and of course with the Lafferty's over there. And how about everybody go over and let's just join hands with them or over them and let's just pray for them, okay? Want to pray for the dueling vacations. No, not dueling. Thank you, Lord. I know that you're on vacation. Okay, Jesus, we just thank you for family. We're the body of Christ. And I thank you that this time has come in the calendar for both Rob, Connie, and Christina, and then for Rick and Kelly and Justin, Tim, and Jaylee, Destiny, all of them, Lord, on vacation the next couple of weeks. And God, I pray that, number one, all their vehicles would work. And they would remember everything that they put on the list, and they'd get out the door on the time you need them to get out on. And I just pray that while they're gone, they'd have a great time of refreshing, that their family would be drawn closer together. And we just know that you're going to be with them. You're going to stand with them. You're going to give them a great time together. And I just pray too that, like I said earlier, that they'd be drawn closer together, because Lord, our lives are changing all around us, and children are growing older, and just the different possibilities and the different things. Lord, I pray that this would be a uniquely special time for their families. Pray that you would surround them with protection, and just that their relationships together would be stronger. We bless you, Lord, now. We also pray for the vacation that Grandpa Marv and Grandma Judy are on. We pray your blessing on them as they travel to Gig Harbor this week, and also the next week they'll be in Spokane. And we just thank you, Lord, now, in Jesus' name. I stopped myself. And so, is there anyone else who would say you need prayer today for a touch of the Holy Spirit, or you're carrying a burden and talking about this? The Hebrews 13 says, let brotherly love continue. That means to be to be intentional. It means like Galatians says, bear one another's burdens. And in bearing one another's burdens, we so fulfill the law of Christ. So, is there anyone else who says, okay. So, let's, someone put their hand on her neck where the pain is. Even better that Dad gets to do it. Jesus, we pray for Jaden's back or neck. We pray for healing. We pray that you would touch her neck, and that we just lift her up. She asked for it, and you're going to do it. You're going to touch her. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Okay. Well, I'd like to wrap our service today up with Everything Glorious.